من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وطبيب نفوسنا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآله،
صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، لا سيما بقية الله روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين. يا ليتنا كنا معكم، يا ليتنا كنا معكم سادتي، فنفوز فوزا عظيما. قال الله تبارك وتعالى في محكم كتابه: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وما يؤمن أكثرهم بالله إلا وهم مشركون. صدق الله العلي العظيم. My very dear brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum jami'an wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. You recall, inshallah, those who were with us last night, we said that the main theme of this series of talks and sessions that inshallah we have during these first 10 nights of Muharram will be inshallah a positive response to a divine invitation based on the ayah that we learned last night, inshallah, and we remember it. We memorize it, we practice it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is inviting all of us. Istajibu lillah. Respond to the call of God, to the call of the Prophet. Your presence, as I said, is your positive response physically. Attending, okay, I'm here, Ya Rab. Labbaik, Ya Rab. What do you want from me? And we said, because the majlis of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, in as much as when God says, respond to the call of God and to the call of the Messenger of God, the call of the messenger is mentioned for the recognition of the Prophet and also to teach us that when the Prophet is inviting you to something, it's the same as God, no difference. When the Khalifa, the right Khalifa of the Prophet also is inviting you to something, it's the same as the Prophet is inviting, because he is the representative of the Prophet, as the Prophet is the representative of the Almighty God. So the majlis of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, Imam Hussein alayhi salam had absolutely nothing to call to himself. He made it very clear. You all have heard many times this final will of the Imam, that he says that I had absolutely no intention of revolving and revolting against Yazid other than seeking the reformers in the community of my grandfather. لطلب الإصلاح في أمة جدي. So if you really and truly you want to know why is it that we are here, why is it that every year we are commemorating Muharram, it is not just a commemoration or celebration of an event. It's just like, for example, excuse the example, like someone is celebrating his birthday or an occasion that has happened 1400 years ago. We are just commemorating it in memory of that. No, Ashura exists every year. And for every single one of us, I'm included, all of us are included. Everyone, every year, hears the cry of Imam Hussein, هَلْ مِنْ نَاصِرٍ يَنْصُرُنِي. Not only even during the Muharram time, throughout the year. When you go out here, when you are at work, in the uni, at home, always remember that Imam Hussein alayhi salam is calling you. هَلْ مِنْ نَاصِرٍ يَنْصُرُنِي. And we say the theme of our talk, inshallah, these nights, is to say, لَبَّيْكَ يَا حُسَيْنِ. not only by physically coming here and then once the program finishes go back to life. It's not a show that we are just attending a show and watching a movie and once the movie is over back to normal life. This is not a show, obviously. We are coming here, inshallah, our intention, we want to make clear intention right from the beginning. We are here to learn about the lifestyle of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, so that what we said in Ziyarat Ashurna, Allahumma aj'al mahyaya mahya Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad. Ya Allah, make my lifestyle, the lifestyle of Muhammad and the progeny of Muhammad. Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. I want to live the lifestyle of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. The lifestyle did not limit to half an hour of majlis, of course. Yani the way that I live my life, the way I deal with my wife, sisters married with their husbands, with children, with neighbors, with friends, with family, with the community, with everyone, with animals, with environment around them. I want to know how the Holy Prophet and all those holy people live their lives. I want to follow their footsteps. And I tell you, and I sincerely tell you this, I'm not here to just deliver something and go back home, inshallah. I really mean it, and inshallah, I hope that you mean it, inshallah, as well, that we want to be here to learn something, to practice it, really. Endeavor to practice. All my talks, inshallah, in the coming nights will be on focusing on the significance of practice in Islam, al-amal. And the significance of al-amal. The difference between Imam Ali alayhi salam and all other companions of the Prophet that made Imam Ali so distinguished and superior to the rest was the action. Otherwise, everybody listened and attended the lectures of the Prophet, wasn't it? When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was lecturing, giving sermons, everybody was listening. So how come that some became hypocrites and some became sincere? And how come that even the sincere one came in different degrees? Imam Ali alayhi salam in Nahjul Balagha, he himself gives us the secret code. He said, you know why I reached where I reached? Because لَقَدْ اتَّبَعْتُهُ اتَّبَاعَ الْفَصِيلِ أَثَّرَ أُمَّهِ. I just followed the footsteps of the Prophet. And he gives an example for Arabs who were used to like, they had camels, you know, with them. He said, do you see how a baby camel follows the footsteps of her mother? In as much as the baby camel follows the footsteps of the mother, does exactly what the mother does, is mimicking, following, whatever the Prophet said, I put into practice. Like, for example, Imam Ali alayhi salam says that since I heard from the Prophet that Salat al-Layl gives you maqaman mahmuda, a praise status in the hereafter, since I heard that, I put it to practice. Since I heard from the Prophet, don't sleep at like after dawn and before sunrise, I never slept. To the end of his life, when he's going to the masjid before his martyrdom, he looks at dawn, morning, twilight, and he says that, Ya Sahar, Ya morning, twilight, you be a witness that since Ali remembered left and right hand, time to pray. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Since Ali remembered distinguished left from right, and since his age of consent, since he heard this from the Prophet, I never slept at that time. So remember, this is you know, the secret key for us, therefore. Whatever you learn, if you put it into practice, number one, you don't forget it. If you don't want to forget, practice it, simple. And the second, remember that if you are an encyclopedia of knowledge, mashallah, you are allama, the most learned person on earth about Islam, yet without any practice, it's not going to avail you neither in dunya nor in the hereafter. All right, so let's put this as really make the right intention. Attending the majlis of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, when we say Labbaik ya Hussein, Imam Hussein is not just after our physical attendance. This is good to start with, not to stop at. We want to Iqra waraqa, read and come up. Now, the ayah that I have for you tonight, a bit of background before I recite the ayah, I want to take you tonight and inshallah in a few nights to come, to the grassroots of the problems that we have. We are living, like to give you an example, we are living at the age of information and technology, as you know. This information and technology has so many advantages and unfortunately disadvantages as well, depending on how we deal with it. As a marriage counselor, family counselor, I have to tell you, I'm dealing with so many cases, not here, but I suppose communities, Western Muslims living in the West, by and large, they live similar situations wherever they live. How many ladies I know that they are complaining about their husbands because of infidelity, cheating behind them, okay? God forbid, even the other way around as well. How many parents, they complain about their teenage children especially, that she's getting out of hand, he's getting out of hand, I don't know what to do. How many children complain about parents, and really people complain about each other, things are getting out of hand. And on the problem is that today you look, and I give you a hypothetical example, may God protect us all. We look publicly, especially us, and I'm talking about ourselves as so-called practicing Muslims. The reason that I say so-called, with all respect to you, because I am not a practicing Muslim if only in front of you I practice my religion. In my privacy, if I'm a different Mongol, if I'm a different animal, then I want to tell you tonight, in the real sense of it, I don't believe in God. And I share the ayah inshallah with you. I'm a real Muslim if internally and externally I am who I am, the right person, not the wrong person, the right person. But only if when people are looking at Sheikh Mansour lowers his gaze and he looks so pious and nice, there's no, I am, this is not taqwa Allah, this is taqwa Nas. It's okay, at least publicly I'm not sinning, better than even publicly have audacity to sin. Don't get me wrong. But remember, we said we are here, iqra warqa, we want to elevate ourselves, we want to get to the right position as is deserved for us. A mu'min is not the one that publicly doesn't sin, but privately he is a very wild creature, wild animal. A mu'min is not the one that when his children are around, like on his with his mobile, laptop, tablet, whatever, or that he has, he doesn't browse on the wrong sites. But when he is in his privacy, in his bedroom by himself, wow, God knows where he goes. Because suppose he thinks that nobody is around me. If and only if it makes a difference to me when my wife is watching me, when my son is watching me, or when my dad is watching me, a friend of mine, someone that I respect is watching me, I behave myself. But when none of them are around, I don't care how what I do and what I see, you tell me, do I believe in God or I believe in my dad, my son? Like the son who was saying that every morning, say, for the pleasure of that, so that he doesn't scream on me. This salat is not qurban or kull taqi. This salat does not elevate him to God. The ayah is this in Surah Yusuf. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. I say again, and please repeat after me. And wallah, it's very easy to remember it. And I don't want to put pressure on your memory, but to remember it, it's good so that throughout the days, you keep saying it. We all need this reminder. فَذَكِّرْ إِنَّ الذِّكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. When you are by yourself, and I don't mean to be insultive to anyone, we are all humans. When you are by yourself in your privacy, if you repeat this ayah, if once you memorize them, you force your memory to bombard you, to remind you, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وَمَا يُؤْمِنُ. Everybody. وَمَا يُؤْمِنُ أَكْثَرُهُمْ بِاللَّهِ إِلَّا وَهُمْ مُشْرِكُونَ. Is it on the screen? Okay. Few words only. In Surah Yusuf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that most of those who claim that they are believers, subhanallah, in the real sense, they are mushrikeen. They are those that they don't believe in God. Making partners with God, it means that, like, for example, I've made dad partner to God, wife partner to God, children partner to God, friends partner to God. Because I fear them, I respect them besides Allah. Besides Allah. What does it mean? Yani, I don't care how much God is watching me, but I care when my wife is watching me, when my husband is watching me. A sister, a lady that God forbid, when she's on the phone with a non-mahram, with a non-mahram, with a stranger, the way that she talks to him when her husband is not around and when the husband is around, this person, this ayah applies to her. A man that is talking to a strange woman when nobody is supposedly listening to her to his conversation, the way that he's cracking joke with her is different than if her husband is around him. This person doesn't fear God, fears a man, a human like him. This ayah applies to him. وَمَا يُؤْمِنُ أَكْثَرُهُمْ بِاللَّهِ إِلَّا وَهُمْ مُشْرِكُونَ So the grassroots of our problems goes back to our ideology, to our poor aqeedah, to our poor belief. This, the problem of faith and belief is so serious that even those who unfortunately want to manipulate certain humans and brainwash them, they know that they have to rewire their brains. They have to go to their system of belief. Faith is such a strong tool, such a strong power, that even those that they want to abuse someone or to use them to their own advantages, they know that you can't give the gun to someone to just go and kill innocent people, to go behead innocent people, unless you go and rewire their brains. In other words, unless you give them a wrong aqeedah, a wrong ideology. Don't make a mistake. That doesn't mean Islam is a wrong religion because of such people that they call themselves Muslims. This is the abuse of religion. In as much as science is not bad, but the abuse of the science kills innocent people. So do we say that I don't want science, I'm against science? No, you're not against science. They are abusing it. In internet, for example, is it something bad or good? It's a very good tool. Initially, it meant to be a very academic tool. It helps us immensely. Great scholars, maraja even today, you see their offices, they use internet, but they don't abuse it. So if somebody is abusing internet, if somebody is abusing Facebook, as many unfortunately do, by and large, it is not the problem of social networking that is bad. It depends how you use it. All right? Likewise, I'm sorry to give this example. Likewise, it's not that religion and faith and iman is bad. In fact, it's very constructive if we use it in the right way. Imagine a Danish citizen who has faith in God. You know the story of Gyges Ring? I might have told you this. I'll repeat it to refresh your memory. Gyges Ring is the simile that Plato gives, one of the very ancient Greek philosophers. He gives a scenario to differentiate between those who have faith in God and those who have no faith in God. He says, let's see who is the right and really a faithful citizen. He says, once upon a time there was a shepherd who had this fairy tale, but we want to use it to our to pass a message. He said, this shepherd, he used to have a ring, and this his name was Gyges. He had a ring that any time he's wearing the ring, he becomes invisible. No one can see him. Now he says that, imagine that you have this ring, that you become invisible. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Do you think that now that you have the ring and even the surveillance cameras cannot catch you, aren't you going to go rob the banks? Go to the houses and watch whatever that your whim and desire it dictates, and you just do it because you know that there's no chance for you to be arrested. Imagine what kind of animal we become. He says, only if you are invisible and no one can catch you, yet you say that I cannot be invisible before the invisible, before the Almighty God. God is watching me and that's enough for me. I don't care whether my wife is watching, whether my dad is watching. And you know, brothers, your alhamdulillah, young, good opportunity to hear this and take this into consideration. Come tomorrow, your parents, some of you already and the rest on the way, inshallah. I tell you that you know how you can tame and control and discipline your children. In the age of free internet, free information and technology, there's absolutely no way that you can control your children unless you give them the faith, unless they have really faith and iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, your daughter out of your sight, she does what she wants. Your son out of your sight does what he wants. Because mom and daddy are not around. Pretends that he is in the library, she is in the library, but God knows where they are. Keeps a mobile for you and another one for himself or for herself. A SIM card for you, a SIM card for himself or herself. Easy to hide. How many of us know about, I see some couples, they say we have a shared email address. I said, this is not the way to do it, my friend. It's so easy to get around it and have a private email and open it somewhere else, isn't it? This is not a solution. You do whatever you want to do. Impossible to control your wife. Impossible to control your husband. Impossible to control your children. You and I, we cannot control each other, no matter what. Who can control? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what we need to do is to have this, to foster faith and iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you want to get to the grassroots of the story of Karbala, what made Imam Hussein alayhi salam, Imam Hussein alayhi salam? You need to study the personality of Imam Hussein alayhi salam on the day of Arafah, almost a month ago. Read Dua Arafah, reflect on Dua Arafah, then you know who Imam Hussein alayhi salam was. Inshallah, I'll share with you in the coming nights. It's easier said than done. How many of you have got children, infants? Is it possible for a father, for a mother to take in front of his eyes, at his bosom really, they shoot his child dead, slain him with the arrows on him, at, you know, what kind of a father is Imam Hussein? And look at what he says at the end. هَوَّنَ مَا نَزَلَ بِأَنَّهُ بَعَيْنِ اللَّهِ. Because he's in the presence of God. Because God is watching me. Because I know I'm the right track. As Ali Akbar said, I know we are on the right track. Then it's okay. SubhanAllah. This is the story. This is what we want to talk about. صلوا على محمد وعلى محمد. In the Quran, to tell you that we have a long journey to make. Don't ever think, don't ever be content with the position that you have in your iman. There's always room to improve. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala often in the Quran is addressing us again, so-called believers. I say so-called in comparison, relatively. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, amenu. Isn't this paradoxical? All you who believe, believe. It's just saying that all you Danish people, be Danish. Huh? What do you mean when you say this? I think you understand the expression. All you Danish people, act Danish. In Australia, we say all you Aussies, be Aussie, meaning that give it the fair go. Aussies, they say that we give people the fair go. All you Danish, be Danish. And if you are really, truly Danish, act Danish. Quran says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, amenu. All you who claim, between brackets you can say, all you who claim that you are believers, be true believers. How I would become a true believer? By practice. In my practice, you can examine the level of my faith. Quran again says, Alladhina amanu walam yalbisu imanahum bidhulmin. أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمُ الْأَمْنِ. Anyone knows why mu'min is called mu'min in Arabic, in the language of the Quran? Mu'min is called mu'min for several reasons. I share with you two aspects of it only. One reason is that al-mu'min is the one that يَأْمَنُ النَّاسِ مِنْهُ. People feel secure from him or from her. They don't feel scared. They don't feel threatened. And even if I'm a true believer, when you see me, you should feel comfortable, not scared. And hence, when we meet each other, salam alaikum. Salam means you're at peace and give me peace. I'm not here to scare you. This is one reason that a believer in Arabic, in the language of the Quran, is called mu'min. Higher than that, a believer is called a believer because lahumul amn, as Quran says, for them is security. In the hereafter, they are not going to be hellbound. They are not going to be put in hell and suffer in hell. There is security against hell for them. Hence, mu'min. Quran says, this is not by lip service that you think you become a believer. Ya alladhina amanu, those who said, I believe. Walam yalbisu imanahum bidhulm. Dhulm here, it means sin. They don't mix their faith with, or they don't cover their faith with dhulm, yani with sin. In other words, those who believe in God and practice their religion. The core of religion, brothers and sisters, if you really want taqarrub ilallah, if you all want closeness to Imam Hussein alayhi salam, wallahi al-azim, wallahi al-azim, wallahi al-azim. This is a very strong oath I'm taking. Impossible to get close to Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, impossible to get close to God unless we stay aloof, stay away from sinning. The more we stay away from sinning, the closer you become to Imam Hussein alayhi salam. This is the exact words. Inshallah, I bring them to you, the ahadith. They are not after our lip service. It doesn't really mean, the appearance doesn't make us Muslims necessarily. Our words don't make us Muslim. What makes us a true believer is what Quran says. وَلَمْ يَلْبِسُوا إِيمَانَهُمْ بِالظُّلْمِ. They don't really cover their faith, like their verbal expression of iman, they don't mix it with deliberate sinning. You may say, Sheikh, are we ma'asum? Are you ma'asum? No, nobody's talking about being infallible. At least what you know, deliberately don't sin. Rahmatullah alay. They ask Ayatollah Bahjad that, Sheikh, give us an instruction. We want to follow your path because you followed the path of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Give us an instruction. He said two words. Do not sin. End of a story. That's it. What you know it's a sin, don't do it. You don't know what sin is, you're a new Muslim, learn about your religion. Anytime that anything that you're told that this is disobedience to God, stay away from it. Study the lifestyle of Ma'asumin alayhimus salam. See how they live their lives. Try to follow them as Imam Ali alayhi salam did it. And he got there. Try to, even in the way that they were dressed. See how Fatima al-Zahra salamullah alayhi, how she was dressed. Even my dress code, even the my choice of color. Some people go, it's not extreme. The more you follow, the closer you get. And the shorter cut it will be. However the Prophet, like someone says that the Prophet used to have two meals a day. I want to have two meals. See, going to, and subhanAllah, you are really fortunate and blessed. You have access to a religion that is so comprehensive. So comprehensive. For every aspect of your life, you have instruction. It's one of the sisters that she converted to Islam. When I had a discussion with her, and I told her that, what's your reason, motivation that you chose Islam as the religion? Among the reasons she mentioned, she said, because I found it a very comprehensive religion. Everything I want is there in this religion. For my business, for my family life, for my personal life. It's such a comprehensive religion. I told her that, do you know in our religion, this, look at this so-called very trivial issue. In our religion, even we have instruction, you want to use the bathroom, you step in with the left foot or right foot. Such a so-called trivial issue. It is detailed. SubhanAllah, we have access to a religion. It's so well detailed. What better than this you want? There's no such situation to say that Islam doesn't have any answer for this. It's up to you how you want to live your life. No, there's no such thing. So when you have such a comprehensive map, it's a road map to your salvation, to your prosperity, use it to your benefit. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَلَمْ يَلْبِسُوا إِيمَانَهُمْ بِظُلْمٍ. Benefits of faith are the following. Some of them I share with you, inshallah, tonight with salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. The very Ahsan, yes, you can come forward, please. Late comers can also. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Jazakum ala khaira. Ahsan. First benefit of faith and iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, remember we are talking about not someone who says that alhamdulillah I'm Muslim and that's all about it. Iman that is resting in the heart, the very first benefit of it is the way that you get such a strong power, internal power, that makes it so easy to deal with calamities, with difficulties of life. Some make a mistake, they think that now I've become a Muslim, now I should not suffer in my life anymore. I should not get sick, no poverty anymore, no family issue, no problem at work. There is no such thing. Problems in life is inevitable part of the life of this dunya, whether you are a Muslim or non-Muslim. For all of us is a trial, is a test. The difference is that the one who has faith in God doesn't ever think of, like, there's no dead end for him to think of committing suicide or getting drunk. People who have no faith in God, the moment that they have any family issue, any issue in their business, they seek refuge either to drug or alcohol, if not, end their lives committing suicide. The one who has faith in God, he has no such thing for him as depression. With all respect, I always say that how possible it is for a believer, for a Muslim, for a mu'min to say that I'm depressed. Some girls I hear, they say it's become a fashion, like everybody today is depressed. I tell you why. Unfortunately, I have to be frank with you, this is lack of faith. The one who has faith in God, there's no ala bi dhikri la tatma'innul qulub. If you really have God in your heart, then your heart is at rest no matter what. Are you going through more than what they say Zainab salamullah alayhi had gone through? Or what Imam Hussein alayhi salam had gone through? The difference between them and us was the level of their faith. To your own level, you increase the dose of your faith, you see that how easily. See, I usually give this example. The difference between a weak person and a strong person physically, the one who is physically fit, viruses are out there. They're in the air for everybody. How come that this one got affected? Like babies usually are more vulnerable to viruses. Because their body is weak because of their age. An adult, his or her body is stronger. Likewise, if you strengthen your soul by faith, you can feed your faith, your soul with your faith. Once your soul is strong, you don't get depressed. Absolutely no room for depression. Look at this hadith. The Prophet Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam, لم يكن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يقول لشيء قد مضى لو كان غيره. Never in his entire life the messenger of God ever said to something that had passed and sounded unpleasant. Never the Prophet said, I wish that didn't happen. Can you think about it? Take it home, keep it with you and see how often you go against this. How tough it is to practice it. In the battle of Uhud, he lost his uncle Hamza, such a great warrior of Islam. And the Prophet was so grieved, never said, I wish Hamza was not killed. Because he knew that there is a benefit in that. For him, there was a benefit. It was meant to happen. Lost the business. Why? Lost the marriage. Lost the child. It's the life. The story of life is winning and losing, isn't it? A believer, you see, and subhanAllah, Imam Ali alayhi salam says, this is zuhd. لَكَيْ لَا تَأْسَوْ عَلَى مَا فَاتَكُمْ. Don't be grieved over what you lost, and don't rejoice over what you gain. وَلَا تَفْرَحُوا بِمَا آتَاكُمْ. Surah Al-Hadid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us. A moment, his life is so stable. Subhanallah, when Imam Khomeini rahmatullahi lost his son, Ayatollah Sayyid Mustafa, he was a mujtahid, very learned scholar. Some doctors, they say, in fact, someone that I know him very closely, he said that doctors, they say that it's strange Imam Khomeini is not in tears, he's not crying for his son. It's a loss of a son, he needs to cry, it may affect his heart. But he's not crying, it's very strange. Part flesh and blood, you part of your body. He was assassinated, they had killed him. And such a great scholar also he was not just an ordinary son. But because Imam Khomeini says that I gave him for the sake of God, he didn't want the enemy's luck to rejoice, whatever that his intention was. They said, but he needs to be in tears. This person that I know, Sayyid is the Alim Din, he said that I told them that go and read Majlis Husayni. Imam Hussein cries for the Ali Akbar of Imam Hussein, doesn't cry for his Ali Akbar. You read Majlis, you see how he goes in tears. And subhanAllah, he himself is a very famous, Rahmatullah has passed away now, was a very famous reciter. The moment he said, I started reciting like Musibat of Na'i for Aliyah Akbar al-Hussein, Imam Khomeini's face was wet. This is a moment. This is a moment that calamities of life doesn't shatter him, doesn't break him. That's one benefit of faith. All right. عَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُوا شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ وَعَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّوا شَيْئًا وَهُوَ شَرٌ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Trust in God. God knows best. One day, Prophet was sitting with his companions and they saw that the Prophet, all of a sudden, he smiled out of the blue, as we say. He says, Ya Rasulallah, what happened? Did you remember a joke or something? The Prophet said, no. Angel Jibreel just came down to me and he gave me a glad tiding, a good news. And he said, Ya Rasulallah, inform the believers, no matter what happens to them, at the end of the day, it will to their benefit. No matter what happens to them. At the end of the day, it will be to their benefit. So only if I believe in this, no matter what happens to me as if I'm a believer, it seems right now it's a loss. And I complain, why this happened? Be patient. Don't count the chicken before they hatch. Time will come, you appreciate it. You definitely appreciate it. It will be turned to your benefit. This is one benefit. Second benefit of Iman in God is that you never complain about anyone. If you really and truly believe that God has the control over everything, you never get upset and complain about anyone. Rather, if something happens to me harmful, before I blame my wife, before I blame my parents, before I blame anyone else, I blame myself. I must have done something that God disgraced me. Maybe I have like disclosed someone's secret that now is like what goes around comes around. It's coming back to me. Maybe I have this happened to me. Someone disrespected me because I was too much of a pride. God wanted to break my idol of selfishness. Huh? Always interpret it internally. Before you, in psychology, they call it projection. Before you project it on others and put the blames on others, first go internally and examine yourself. It's a lesson for me. I'm not pointing at you. Everyone point at themselves, himself. This incident is a lesson for me. What am I going to get out of this? The ayah that I told you, memorize it, few words in Surah Yusuf. The one before that is this. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وكأي من آية في السماوات والأرض يمرون عليها وهم عنها معرضون. God says, see how many messages every day and night I send them to wake them up. But instead of he gets up to himself, he blames others. And he plays innocence, like as if I have not done anything. What kind of attitude is this? Such people, they stay asleep. They never wake up. God says, I'm sending you all these signals, all these alarms for you to wake up to yourself, my friend. Change your lifestyle. Do you see? I gave you just a hint of it. So easily I can disgrace you to your community, to your family. Wake up to yourself before that happens. No, I'm smart. Do you see how I can cover it up? No, see, nobody knows what I'm doing. You are not smart, my friend. Impossible to be smart before God. God is so kind to you. God doesn't want to disclose your secrets because God knows come tomorrow you repent, inshallah, and your family won't forget. God will forgive. Not that God will forget. God will forgive you and let it go. But friends, family, spouse, no, never. 10 years has passed and still the way that they perceive you is not the same as before. So because God doesn't want that to happen to you, to me, he conceals. But I'm fooling myself. I said, see how smart I am? No, she doesn't know, man. She does. Who care? Why do you care if she knows or not? You should care he knows or not. I'm talking capital H, God. صلوا على محمد وعلى محمد الله اكبر one more ayah I share with you and I concluded inshallah here my time is over. Remember this ayah also as well related to the topic. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when I tell you that don't sin, I'm not talking about publicly committing a sin. To me, there is no difference between public or private. The ayah that we learned last night, see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ لَا يَحُولُ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَقَلْبِهِ. That means before something is crossing my mind, God knows about it. God stands between me and my intention, my heart even. That means that even internally, let me give you this story. It's in our Rawayat and in the Bible, in the New Testament as well. They brought an adulteress at the time of Prophet Jesus, ala nabiyyina wa alihi wa alayhi salam. They brought an adulteress, a female who had committed adultery, to Jesus to stone her to death. According to the Jewish law, the law was stone her to death. Prophet Jesus says that that's fine. She's committed adultery. She's confessing also that she's committed adultery. She has to be sentenced. But only those who have not committed adultery, come and join me. We all stone her to death. A similar situation, we had it at the time of Imam Ali alayhi salam, and only Imam Ali Hassan and Imam Hussein alayhi salam, they stood there. I'll tell you how. Jesus says that only those who have not committed adultery, they come and they are allowed to stone her to death. Otherwise, what's the difference between you and her? An adulterer cannot hit an adulteress. Someday came, some of the rabbis, they came and said that we are ready, Jesus. He said, hey, hang on a second. I'm not talking about physically committing adultery. Even if you have committed adultery here, you have committed adultery before God. Because the one who is fantasizing about a sin, even in his or her mind enjoying a sin, that person, if she gets or he gets the opportunity, may commit it. Okay? As long as you have not thought of even adultery, in your mind you have really attested at adultery, you come and we can stone her to death. Nobody came. They knew that they are not, they can't muck around with the prophet. They can't just claim. Jesus Christ gave them a lesson. Imam Ali, I told at his time also, he gave them a lesson. And now this is the ayah. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Qul harrama rabbi al-fawahish. Say, my Lord has prohibited the horrible sins, mortal sins. Ma zahara minha wa ma batan. Whether it's done publicly or privately. For God, there's no privacy. So, the reason that we are not supposed to sin, we are not supposed to sin to have taqwa Allah. This is not taqwa Allah that publicly you don't sin, but privately, God forbid something. This is our assignment. Let us see if during these nights of Muharram, we can say, Labbaik Ya Hussein. Ya Hussein, any bad habit that I've had, and I don't want to highlight it, يعني الإنسان على نفسه بصيرة. You go home respectfully and see if you have any bad habit that nobody knows except you. Privately, you are committing that. You say that during the nights of Muharram until the evening of Ashura for the time being. Inshallah, we'll extend it, but I don't want to tell you now. Just tell your nafs, hey, just for 10 nights, khalas, stop that one. Because these are the nights and the days that I would say, Labbaik Ya Hussein. For the love of Imam Hussein, I want to make a deal with Imam Hussein. Make a vow, nadir. For the love of Imam Hussein, السلام, I just don't want to do that anymore. For the time being, see how it goes. See the nur that you feel within yourself. See the spirituality that you will gain, inshallah. And that's how you can please Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Every night, we mentioned one of the martyrs of Karbala, whether they were martyred in Karbala physically or belong to the story of Karbala as well or not. The intention before that also is that because not only we want to emotionally relate to Karbala, we want to use them as the means between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for our nearness. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqullah wabtaghu ilayhi alwasila. Seek for the nearness to God, a wasila. And Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, they said, Wallahi nahnu al-wasail. We are the means of nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tonight, I want to seek refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seek closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a baby girl. Her age younger than all of us, only 3 years old. But subhanAllah, she is the masteress, she is the leader of all of us. All of us. A three-year-old girl, a shaheede. She was not martyred in Karbala, although she wished it to be martyred along with her father. I'm talking about the daughter of the youngest daughter of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. Her name, let me introduce her to you briefly. And especially if you have a younger sister of that age or a young daughter of that age, you can relate to the story more. Her name is Ruqayya. Ruqayya, literally raqayya, raqayya, it means someone or something that is elevated. So from the birth, Imam Hussein alayhi salam gave her that name, like he knows that she will be elevated in her life, although young in age. But subhanAllah, look at the journey that she has made, that now she is one of the martyrs of Karbala, in paradise. Her mother was the ex-wife of Imam Hassan Mujtaba alayhi salam. When Imam Hassan alayhi salam passed away before his martyrdom, he is asking his brother, because they poisoned the Imam to death, he is asking his brother Imam Hussein alayhi salam to marry his wife after her iddah is over. Her name is Ishaq. The result of that marriage was a baby girl. Her name is Ruqayya. Okay? Ruqayya is Musaqqal, like Sumayya, Sukayna. On the way to Karbala, when the news of the martyrdom of Muslim ibn Aqil came, Ruqayya, she used to have a friend of around her age. Her name is Humayda, the daughter of Muslim ibn Aqil. When the sad news of the martyrdom of Muslim came to Imam Hussein goes to the tent of the family of Muslim ibn Aqil. And Ruqayya is witnessing that daddy is hugging Humayda, the daughter of Muslim, kissing her, hugging her. And the girl was so intelligent, she noticed that Abu Abdullah al-Hussein is treating her differently, so compassionately and caring. She goes, "Uncle Hussein, what happened?" And Imam Hussein alayhi salam tells her that, "Now I'm like a father for you." Ruqayya witnessed that. On the afternoon of Ashura, when she lost her father, she was in pain and she was crying. That, "Dad, when my friend Humayda lost her father, you were there for her. But now who is here now for me?" Let me tell you that according to narrations, Humayda, the daughter of Muslim ibn Aqil, she was also martyred on the evening of Ashura when they raided the tents. Under the hooves of the horses, she was also attacked and she died and joined her father. She became shahide on the evening of Ashura. You may be surprised to hear this. This young girl, Ruqayya, also wished that she was martyred as well to join her father on the plain of Karbala. And the story continues. They go to Kufa and from there to Damascus, to Syria, until one night that they were all accommodated in a shabby ruined place that Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam, he narrates. He says that they put us in a place that there was no shelter to protect us against the heat of the sun nor the cold of the night. One night, imagine the scene. There was silence and all the ladies who had lost their sons, their husbands, their brothers, everyone was quiet, some perhaps asleep. Right in the middle of the night, they say all of a sudden, Ruqayya woke up. She woke up crying, "Daddy, Daddy, Ya Abata, Ya Abata." No matter what they try, how they try to calm this baby girl down, she wouldn't stop. She says, "My daddy was like now here." She was dreaming of her father. Families, ladies also, they were in pain. They had lost their dears because of the cry of the baby. They were all crying as well. Yazid al-La'in la'anatullah alayhi, he heard the cry of the ladies and the baby of Hussein. He called his guards, "What's happening in the middle of the night? They are disturbing us." They said, "Ya Yazid, the daughter of Hussein is crying and she's asking for her father. What are we supposed to do?" He said, "That's simple. Send the head of the father." SubhanAllah, look at this cruelty. Look at this cruelty.
They had beheaded Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, had brought the head of Imam Hussein all the way to Syria, and now he says that take the head to her. Maybe she's looking at the head of the father and that would calm her down. You have heard this story, put the head of the holy head of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein on a tray, covered it with a lid, and took it to the kharabe. Ruqayyah, as soon as she saw that the guard is coming with a pallet, what do you imagine? She assumed that they have brought her some food or fruit. She says, I was not hungry, I'm not asking for food. It was until when they removed the lid and she saw the head of her father. This young girl with her own childish mentality, she is hugging the head of the father and she started talking to the head. Ya Abata, man akhdabaka bidma'ik. That, why is it yet that your beard are dyed with your blood? Ya abata man lil yatimata hatta takbar. Daddy, I remember how you treated Humayda, my friend. Now your own daughter has become orphan. But daddy, I don't have anyone looking after me. And she kept talking and talking to her father until all of the sudden fainted. They thought that the baby of Imam Hussein alayhi salam fell asleep. But when Sayyidah Zainab goes to hug her, put her to bed, they realize that she has passed away. Ala la'natullah ala al-qawm al-zalimin wa say'alamu al-lazina zalamu أيام غلب ينغلبون أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. 5 times I recite آية أمن يجيب. Please be conscious of your حوائج. أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء. 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 بجاه محمد وآل محمد وبحرمة الفاتحة مع الصلوات. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. الحمد.